2. Red London. The bells were ringing, and Rye was late. He could hear the distant sounds of music and laughter, the clatter of carriages and dancing. People were waiting for him. They'd had a fight, he and his father, about how he didn't take things seriously. How he never took things seriously. How could he be king when he couldn't even be bothered to arrive on time? The bells stopped ringing, and Rye cursed, trying to fasten his tunic. He kept fumbling with the top button. "Where is he?" he could hear his father grumbling. The button slipped again, and Rye groaned and crossed to his mirror, but when he stepped in front of it, he froze. The world got quiet in his ears. He stared into the glass, but Kel stared back. His brother's eyes were wide with alarm. Rye's room was reflected behind him, but Kel acted as though he were trapped in a box, his chest rising and falling with panic. Rye reached out, but a horrible chill went through him when he touched the glass. He wrenched back. "Kel," he said, "can you hear me?" Kel's lips moved, and Rye thought for an instant that the impossible reflection was just repeating his own words, but the shapes Kel's mouth made were different. Kel pressed his hands against the mirror and raised his voice, and a single muffled word came through. "Rye." "Where are you?" demanded Rye, as the room behind Kel began to darken and swirl with shadows, the chamber dissolving into black. "What's going on?" And then, on the other side of the glass, Kel clutched his chest and screamed. A horrible gut-wrenching sound that tore through the room and raised every hair on Rye's body. He shouted Kel's name and beat his fists against the mirror, trying to break the spell or the glass, trying to reach his brother. But the surface didn't even crack. Rye didn't know what was wrong. He couldn't feel Kel's pain. He couldn't feel anything. Beyond the glass, Kel let out another sobbing cry and doubled over before crumpling to his knees. And then Rye saw the blood. Kel was pressing his hands to his chest, and Rye watched, horrified and helpless, as blood poured between his brother's fingers. So much, too much, a life's worth. "No, no, no," he thought, "not this." He looked down and saw the knife buried between his ribs, his own fingers curled around the golden hilt. Rye gasped and tried to pull the blade free, but it was stuck. Beyond the glass, Kel coughed blood.
"Hold on," cried Rye.
Kel was kneeling in a pool of red, a room, a sea, so much red. His hands fell away.
"Hold on,"
pleaded Rye, pulling at the knife with all his strength. It didn't move. Kel's head slumped forward.
"Hold on."
His body crumpled. The knife came free. Rye wrenched forward out of sleep. His heart was pounding and the sheets were soaked with sweat. He pulled a pillow into his lap and buried his face in it, dragging in ragged breaths as he waited for his body to realize the dream wasn't real. Sweat ran down his cheek. His muscles twitched, his breath hitched, and he looked up, hoping to find morning light spilling in through the balcony doors, but was met with darkness, tempered only by the aisle's pale red glow. He bit back a sob of frustration. A glass of water sat beside his bed, and he gulped it down with shaking fingers while he waited to see if his brother would come barging in, convinced the prince was under attack, the way he had those first few nights. But when it came to nights and mornings and the dreams between, Rye and Kel had quickly developed a silent understanding. After a bad night, one would give the other a small, consoling look, but it seemed crucially important that nothing actually be said about the nightmares that plagued them both. Rye pressed his palm flat against his chest, lessening the pressure with the inhalation, increasing with the exhalation, just as Tyrion had taught him to do years before, after he'd been taken by the shadows. It wasn't the abduction that gave him nightmares in the months that followed, but the sight of Kel crouched over him, eyes wide and skin pale, the knife in his hand and the rivers of blood streaming from his severed veins. "It's all right," Rye told himself now. "You're all right. Everything's all right." Feeling steadier, he threw off the sheets and stumbled up. His hands itched to pour a drink, but he couldn't bear the thought of going back to sleep. Besides, it was closer to dawn than dusk. Better to just wait it out. Rye pulled on a pair of silk trousers and a robe, the latter plush and heavy in a simple, comforting way, and threw open the balcony, letting the night's icy chill dispel any dregs of sleep. Below, the floating arenas were nothing more than shadows blotting out the river's glow. The city was speckled here and there with lights, but his attention drifted to the docks, where even now ships were sailing sleepily into port. Rye squinted, straining to pick out one ship in particular. A dark wood vessel with silver trim and blue-black sails. But there was no sign of the night spire. Not yet.